get into our first presentation. Maria Cutter is going to speak about the City of Louisville's work in with the heat island effect. Maria is the City of Louisville's first Director of Sustainability, and she wrote the city's first comprehensive sustainability plan called Sustain Louisville, which was put out in 2013. Maria's previous experience in the environmental field includes working with both government and Fortune 500 private sector clients. Maria is going to talk about Louisville's very comprehensive approach. I hope you can learn from that. Maria, thank you for joining us. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, everybody, and greetings from Louisville. It's really nice to get to speak with you today. First, just a couple quick facts about our city. Louisville is actually structured with a merged city-county government with a strong mayor. We have a population of 750,000 and about 400 square miles. So that's, you know, kind of keep in mind for the background of this conversation. Okay, so I was actually appointed by the mayor, and the Office of Sustainability was formed in 2012. And in that year, I wrote our city's first comprehensive sustainability plan, which I'm sure if you're familiar with city sustainability planning, these six focus areas look pretty familiar. And within those six focus areas, we had 19 goals, and then a number of starting initiatives that we had 63. So the plan has the three overarching objectives of protecting the environment and reducing our carbon footprint. Louisville, interestingly enough, as a result of similar factors that impact our urban heat island, we also have one of the worst carbon footprints in the country, and that is partly due, as I said, to being geographically located in a big river valley. So then ensure the health, wellness, and prosperity of our citizens, and thirdly, create a culture of sustainability. So those are the three overarching objectives of our comprehensive sustainability plan. So then just recently, we issued the one-year progress update, which was everything that we completed in 2013. And some of the original 19 goals were strengthened and slightly revised. Then we went down to 17. So now we're looking at 17 main goals. And then the key change this year was that we included all the baseline metrics where we could. And I think that's very important in measuring progress and going forward. Okay. So Dr. Brian Stone is a professor at Georgia Tech University, and in 2012, he published a study of the top 20 cities with the hottest heat island effects, and Louisville, sadly enough, was at the top of that list. But as a result of this work, we were recognized in a bunch of national publications, and then, of course, locally, this was a very big topic, and this chart is basically what was published, and really you don't have to have any science background to look at this and understand that this is alarming, and it was a call to action. So as I said, when this slide hit the press, the folks in the city became concerned, and Dr. Stone actually made a trip to Louisville to present his findings. He spoke at a number of community forums, and at that time, the mayor had recently formed a tree advisory commission because we also struggle with tree canopy issues. And so all these things came together very nicely. So the study began in January of this year. And this is one of the slides that Dr. Stone has provided that shows the first analysis of our data. And this is the surface temperature analysis. So the red squares show that over 95 square miles had surface temperature of 93 degrees or more. On the day of this picture, this image, which was 2010. Then over 5 square miles exhibited surface temperatures in excess of 100 degrees. So that's the red cell. So the orange cells, we had 95 square miles, and the red squares were 5 square miles. So you can see this is pretty significant. And one of the exciting or interesting things that we noted, I think that's been interesting as this slide, you know, we just presented this last week, and again, the study has just begun in January, is that 5 of our 6 most significant hotspots are outside of the downtown core. So I think that when you talk to people around the community about, you know, the urban heat island, it's what does it mean to me? And we can show this slide and say it does affect you. It's not just the downtown. So I thought that was some really good information to have. So the grant, as I mentioned, the project is fully funded through private grants. We applied for and received a grant from the Funders Network for Smart Growth and Livable Communities, and that program requires a one-to-one match. So we had the good fortune of a couple private foundations that stepped up and were willing to also support and match that. And then, so we have a total budget on this project of $135,000. So again, it began with a surface temperature analysis, and we got that, you know, image from satellite imagery. And from there, we are building, Dr. Stone is using some of the resources locally, which has visibility down to the 2-foot interval, and using that information to actually do a land cover assessment and totally building out this model for the whole city, which is, as I mentioned, 400 square miles. So it's a huge undertaking. And then from there, he's layering on the information about the climate models. He can do the temperature projections based on that. So one of the other important things that we're looking at through the study is, what are the health impacts of heat? We know that, you know, to be a viable city in the year 2050, it's bad enough to feel like we're hot, but we know that heat-related deaths are a significant issue and are going to continue to get worse as, you know, we see more severe summers in the years ahead. So we're using and layering onto the study population vulnerability assessment, because we have a large portion of our population living in lower income housing that is, of course, the least energy efficient housing stock typically. So we want to make sure that people living in these areas actually are impacted by the heat effects are identified, and that we can physically tailor our heat mitigation efforts to those parts of the county and taking into account the population vulnerability and the risks associated with that. So the outcome of the study is a heat mitigation plan. So part of the modeling is where the information is loaded in, and then the scenarios are going to be populated, and one scenario is going to be tree planting. So again, these are the solutions that we're going to be looking at to combat our urban heat island issue. So one would be tree planting, another would be tree planting and green roofs, another would be surface coating, so cool coatings including pavements, street sidewalks, building roofs, and then reflectivity of those aspects as well. And we're also looking at waste heat. So waste heat in Louisville, we have a lot of mobile source emissions. Vehicles are a significant issue, and of course that contributes to poor air quality. And then just the waste heat generated by buildings, specifically in our downtown area. Let's see, so the mitigation plan then will have these tailored solutions that actually will tell us, if you plant these many trees in this part of town, or this much cool paving, or this much green roof, then you will reduce your heat island X amount, or at least mitigate. So slow down the acceleration of our issue. Then it's really great that we included, as part of this grant project, a portion of the funding to do robust community engagement. Because as you know, when we try to teach people about something new and different, and you know, everybody wants to know, why should I care? But our plan here with the community engagement piece is to specifically target the folks living in those communities that are most vulnerable to heat stress. So, you know, it's not any good, doesn't do the public any good if we know the data. We have to be able to share that and get that out there in the community. So at this time, you know, we already have things underway. As I mentioned, Dr. Stone actually came up, and he was in town a couple weeks ago and presented the preliminary findings of his study, which is the heat grid map that I showed a couple slides back. And we had a wonderful response. We had several community meetings, and I had arranged different stakeholder group meetings, and the crowd was full. So people are really interested in this, and I think that's great. And, of course, in the future, as I said, we'll be continuing to plan for our engagement strategy when we get the results. So this project is a 14-month project, so we actually 14 to 16 months. So the actual report and management plan will be issued next May. It's kind of what we're targeting. So we have some time between now and then to actually come up with our pointed strategy and how we're going to actually use this project to mitigate our heat island issues. All right, moving along. Now, as I said, we have the initial slide that shows Louisville's heating hotter than other cities, but what is our baseline for improvement? So having that information is going to be vital, as you know, to impact policy decisions and how, you know, the city can play a role in being a leader with our own facilities and buildings and what how we spend the citizens' dollars. But we also want to look at things such as codes, you know, strengthening our building codes to promote energy efficiency, and cool roofs and green roofs both do that. Also looking at potential landscape ordinances to protect trees, reduce our urban heat impacts, and of course then we're conserving water as well through trees and green infrastructure solutions, which also help combat the heat island. And then, you know, obviously want to manage sprawl and promote density, because that'll do good things as well with respect to the project. Instilling heat considerations in all developments. You know, some things we're seeing around the country are cities that are requiring a heat impact analysis for new development. So showing the change of temperature from bare ground or green space to developed. So once we get the plan, we're looking forward to implementing. And as I said, we're already cataloging some of these policy changes and beginning to incorporate strategies in the budget, most importantly, to start the conversations around, you know, what are we going to do? So I think if we start now, by the time we have the full data and document in the spring, we'll be well positioned to actually take steps. So, of course, the fiscal year is a July 1. So by next July 1, you know, my hope is to have some monies earmarked to actually do implementation and lead, as I said, from the city level, and then incentive programs and different things like that that we're looking at. Oops, skip the slide. Okay, so here, so I just also wanted to mention a parallel project. At the same time that we were writing the grant application package, the mayor, as I mentioned, formed a tree advisory commission, and they have just begun a tree canopy assessment. So that project is only a six-month project, and it's going to wrap up this fall. So it was also funded, actually publicly funded, and as I mentioned, that you know, we know the trees are single solutions for multiple problems, air quality, water quality, and heat. And so the sewer district was an active partner with us in helping to fund that canopy study. So part of the another thing that I'm doing out of my office is offering a stipend program, a matching program for our MSD sewer district to help incentivize green infrastructure and anything to decrease the urban heat island, as well as water quality and air quality. So the next thing, you know, that also kind of helps us with this is that the Tree Commission is working on, you know, looking towards the future strategy in the next year or so to come up with a tree protective ordinance. And again, that's another example of something that must be a collaborative process, and you don't want to turn into a political hot potato, because it's really just about the good of the community and building a quality of life for the future. And, you know, kind of going back to the beginning of this process, I think when you are writing an application for a grant, it's there's sometimes some challenges around that, and obviously finding the matching funds to do that were kind of part of the biggest challenge, because we, as you can see sort of the timeline I've painted, we really, the stars aligned, and we were able to get this project off the ground, get the community input, the buy-in, the funding to make this project happen. So, and the nuts and bolts, everything just kind of fell into place after the main hurdle of getting that grant application submitted. So I feel like we've been really fortunate that, you know, the heat study came out when it did, the Office of Sustainability started when it did, and the projects just fell into place where we were ready to do this. And along with the findings of the tree canopy assessment, which we're going to have by the end of this year, we're really poised to have a lot of data that's very current, very cutting edge, even more refined and detailed than what cities got 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So getting both of these studies and really close together, I think, is going to really position us to make a big impact and try to reduce our urban heat island and plan for the future. I think one of the things that we learned from Dr. Stone is that this does take a while in terms of especially trees. We all love trees, but when you look at the growth cycle, it may take some time. You know, it's not a really rapid heat reduction strategy. But obviously that's something that we're seriously interested in. And then I feel like for us, going with cool roofs and cool pavement coatings and that kind of thing will be something we will try to push as more of a near term, you know, even in the 2 to 3 year range, that we can do with pretty quick results. So that's pretty much where we are, where we've been, and thanks again for giving me the chance to speak. Here's my contact information, and feel free to reach out if you have questions or any things that I can do to help. I'm happy to support.
Great. Thanks, Maria. That was really interesting presentation, because I think it's great to see how you're doing it very comprehensively in terms of a heat management plan, and starting from a study, from starting with the science and the research. And we look forward to continuing to follow your efforts. Wish you luck in the future, and maybe we can have you back in a year or so after you have implemented some activities, and we look forward to that.
Great. Thank you. Us too.
Great. Okay. Before we go on to the next speaker, we wanted to do another poll question, so get ready to vote. Please let us know, at what stage of the heat island mitigation process are you? Are you not even talking about it yet? Are you starting to talk about it or develop a plan? Are you assessing the impacts? Are you identifying and selecting mitigation and adaptation strategies? Or are you implementing strategies? So we'll wait a minute or so to let you vote. Please do that.
There we go.
Okay, thank you for voting. Let's look at the results here. We have, looks like the majority of the people are starting to talk about it or develop a plan, about one-third. The second highest answer is not even talking about it, so we're really glad you're on the webinar today. 12% and 13% roughly equal are assessing the impacts and identifying strategies, and 21% are implementing strategies. That's great. Thank you for all your efforts and for answering.